Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This episode is brought to you by Current Body. The Current Body LED mask is an absolute game changer, designed to penetrate up to 4 millimeters of skin tissue with clinically proven wavelengths. I've talked about the Current Body mask before, but here's more information on how and why it works. Using red light waves, it helps to accelerate collagen production and calm redness, giving you a more even skin tone. Near-infrared technology enhances blood circulation, delivering vital oxygen and nutrients to your skin cells. And here's the kicker. This mask is 31% stronger than any other LED mask out there, based on independent studies. The mask can seamlessly fit into your routine. For optimal results, I'd recommend using it 3 to 5 times a week for 10 minutes. And the best part, it's cordless, so you can use it anywhere, anytime, cleaning, reading, listening to this podcast, or watching the telly. This is a fantastic product for anyone who's looking to improve their skin's texture and tone. Head over to currentbody.com or simply click the link in the description. And don't forget to use the code CarolineHirons for an exclusive 15% off all Current Body skin devices. Welcome back to Glad We Had This Chat, and welcome to our listeners' questions episode. And this week we have my beloved Stacey Solomon. We've got a little bit of organization, but then some fun parenting ones, because I also think, I don't know if we're gonna have similar parenting styles. It could be quite fun.
I think we have.
I'm gonna start with one that I'm just gonna jump into because I've experienced this a lot. What do you do with a manky teen? My son doesn't wash or change his pajamas without me nagging him.
Stop nagging him, let him fester in his own filth. I honestly am not in the business. I don't wash my teenagers' clothes, I don't clean their rooms. I just about cook for them, and I think that's a real privilege because they're old enough to cook for themselves. And Zach, my oldest, now that he's trying to present himself to friends and other
potential better friends,
I think he's got much less lazy with his morning routine. But let him be lazy.
You're only teenagers once.
Literally, for a couple of years, you're going to be soapy. That soapy kid who never washes. All right, fine. If that's what you want, that's what you want.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of like, just please, God, do your teeth. Could you just brush your teeth?
Well, here's an airways.
Yeah.
Just
brush your teeth. Because in my experience, what happens is as they become interested in maybe having a partner of some sort, or they notice people and they're like, oh, I think they might like me, they start to then think, maybe I should wash.
I think that teenagers don't hear their parents. So I could say something 100 times, but if one of Zach's friends says exactly the same thing to him,
always.
He is the friend, right?
Always.
So why am I wasting my time?
Yeah.
If he wants to go in with terrible breath, his mate's going to go, your breath stinks.
Yes, and then he'll think, oh, I need to do something.
Exactly. Let them do the work for you.
Sometimes you're just talking to a brick wall. There's
exactly.
No point.
Exactly.
I'm pregnant and I'm in crippling anxiety about all the life changes ahead, including birth.
That's normal.
I mean, it is normal. You just worry, don't you?
I mean, the one thing I learned from having a baby really young is that you could be in the best circumstances and still things don't go the way they're supposed to go, and you can be in the worst circumstances and they do. The only thing you have control over is the right now. So just enjoy that very second, and everything else will be what it'll be, and you'll work it out when it comes to it. But it is difficult. I would honestly suggest prenatal classes, speaking to your midwife loads. Also,
make friends with other pregnant women.
Yes. And also, there's services available. When I had Zach, I got really bad postnatal depression. When I had Rex, I flagged to my midwife that I had previously had postnatal depression and I was worried about getting it again. So they put me on a perinatal mental health service pathway.
Oh, nice.
Which is something that all NHS midwives should offer.
Yeah.
And you go on a pathway so that as soon as that baby's born, you get a perinatal mental health nurse check in. So make sure you do that because you deserve it. You're entitled to it. And it's a really good support system to have.
There you go. And like, I mean, I would just say, like you say, it's going to happen. There's only so much you can control. Control what you can. And you can't stress about what you
can't.
Let
go of the rest.
You can't. How can I motivate my husband to do more than the bare minimum with the kids?
I'd like to convince my husband to do more than a bare minimum with the house.
Mm.
But when it comes to the kids,
he's in there.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good. He's really an amazing dad.
But I think because Jim's the same. He's hands on. And he's a hands on granddad too. Like we've got one of each. And the boy is obsessed with men. His dad, his granddad, his uncles. Not that bothered about his mum and his nan, to be honest. Aww. Whereas Nova's just like, nanny, nanny, mummy, mummy. And so Jim he's got no choice. I just throw the baby at him.
Yeah.
You know, and he's done. Just like, I'm tired. I'm like, oh, happy days. You know, but I think it also says a lot about how you've set up the relationship from the beginning. Because more than the bare minimum with the kids, there's only going to be so much you can do. It's like, why would you try and persuade someone to spend time with their child?
Yeah.
You know, I would say the relationship might be that you're doing too much of your share of like the housework. And
it's kind of set up that way. Yeah. I think when I first met Joe, I think what made me fall in love with him the most was what type of dad he was. I think that's the reason we got together. So I kind of in my brain picked him for that reason. So I haven't had that issue.
Yeah.
But I will say, if I'm thinking of it in terms of housework, I have to sit down with Joe like on a regular basis and be like, this isn't supporting me. Mm. I can't do this, this and this if you don't do this, this and this.
Yeah.
Like, I love you and you're amazing here. Exactly. But you're going to have to keep helping with this, this and this. And do you know what? Sometimes there's things he says to me like, Stace, you haven't done enough of this and I'd really appreciate if you did a bit of this with me. And we have that conversation because there comes points when like we really annoy each other for whatever reason and we just have to reset every now and again. Yeah. So I think that's always a healthy thing to do is sit down and just make sure you say the positives first. That's something I've learned from discussing with Joe. If I start with the negative.
I love your hair, looks good today.
Yeah, no, that's it. You're
amazing. Ravishing
dishwasher. No, I do have to. If I start with the negative, he goes straight on the defensive.
Of course.
So it's not working.
Human nature.
So I have to start with like, oh, it's been so good seeing the kids do this with you. Like, you've been amazing at this, you've been amazing at that. Could we?
Yeah.
But essentially discuss not putting fake tan on and then going to bed.
Oh, yeah, bless in the fresh sheets. Bless his heart with your fresh sheets.
In the fresh sheets. And then he's got this hairspray stuff that's got fibres in it that he sprays in the bathroom and it just goes everywhere. I'll be walking around, I'll just get out of the shower and I'll look at my feet and they're black from hair fibres. Is that some kind of sick joke? Anyway, he's a great dad.
But yeah, I mean, everything's a negotiation in a marriage as well. And try not to set yourself up to fail in that don't set yourself up so that you're taking on more.
Yeah.
You know, because...
But do you know what as well I found? Your kids don't need that much, right? Sometimes I think we're telling ourselves I should be, you know, training my child for Mensa at the same time as chewing up their food and spitting it into their mouth organically. Like we're sort of being fed this information that we're not doing enough all the time.
Yeah.
And you are. They really don't need much. You get a cardboard box out, chuck it in the middle of the floor and say it's a spaceship.
Yeah.
You're away for 2 hours.
Cut a hole on the side. Done. It's a tunnel.
Exactly. It's a washing machine. Like literally.
Throw over it. It's a tent.
Done. That's your whole week's worth of play in one box. So I think as well, sometimes we put that much pressure on ourselves and then we look to our husband to support that pressure, but it's all a bit unrealistic. So maybe just set back at what you're...
You step back and you'll have to. My two-year-old shows no interest in drinking anything except juice. Despite my attempts to only give him water, he refuses it and ends up drinking nothing. I would rather him have some sort of drink rather than nothing at all.
Don't
so I end up giving
question.
In. Oh, for God's sake. Do you have any suggestions? Yeah, my suggestion is don't listen to whatever Stacey's going to say.
I would say no. I feel like I shouldn't say it. I wouldn't give my child a drink at all. I'd say you don't want
to. Go thirsty
you don't
then.
Don't have nothing.
Yeah.
And soon their mouth will be dry. Sounds like child abuse, doesn't
it? I would sneakily do the same thing, but I would also give them cereal because then they get milk.
Like, but I would put water in cereal.
Yeah.
I would. If I'm really like, if my child wasn't drinking because they only want juice, I'd put water in their cereal. If your cereal is like any other cereal, probably full of sugar and crap anyway, so you don't need the milk. Like they won't taste it. I'd make smoothies, maybe. But even then I'd feel like, no,
you
why
feel like
am I treating
pandering.
You?
You've got to drink water or you're going to die.
But at the same time, we're a family of five, so rules are different.
Yeah.
If you've got one child, you can sit and ask them what they want for dinner. If you've got five, it's not a restaurant.
No, you're not short order cook.
Here you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Enjoy.
Like, yeah,
I don't want this.
Getting.
I don't know what to tell you.
If it makes you feel bad that they're drinking it or having it and you don't want them to have it, just don't make
Take
it an
it
option.
Away.
Don't make
don't
it an option.
Don't buy it. take it away. Like, and also,
in the house.
Also, like, you know, how old, a 2-year-old. I mean, that's temper. They're going to move on. You can just, they're easily distractible.
Yeah.
You know?
But also, if you want to, like, sometimes I feel people are trying to cut these things out because there's a shame involved. If you want to give your child certain things that people are going to shame you about, but you want to do that, you have to make those decisions. You're the parent. Don't listen to anyone else. But
you're the parent.
I would just not even offer it and then hide it or not buy it.
Not buy it. Don't have it in the house. Give them water. And run then, the tap. They'll still
be
thirsty.
They wouldn't dehydrate, would they?
Well, they might do. They might be a bit tired and then you'd be like, you need water, love. I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah. Too. This episode is obviously brought to you by the SkinRocks app, your free to download ultimate guide to skincare made by me, all in one place, with a catalogue of over 24,000 products and over 600 expertly written articles and guides with new content daily. It really is your destination for your best skin yet. And I'm thrilled, because I can, to offer you an exclusive discount to unlock an elevated app experience with exclusive features and even more skincare expertise from me, plus so much more. Revolutionise the way you discover, shop and learn about skincare with our multi-award-winning app. Download the SkinRocks app for free and sign up to premium with your exclusive code CHPOD, all in caps, to save £10 off your annual subscription. More details in the show notes. I'm struggling to cope with my 3-year-old's tantrums. I seem to take them so personally. I don't know. And it says, help. I'm sorry. I just have to say here, who's the parent?
Yeah.
Well, you can't, anything your kids say, and let me tell you now, it's only going to get worse when they're older.
It gets so much worse.
They are brutal.
So bad. And
four kids, two are horrible to me when they meet two. Oh, manipulative little shit.
And cutthroat. They know what upsets you.
So I have two kids that would never upset me, wouldn't dream of saying anything that might upset me, and two that actually don't give a shit about my problems and will just say.
No, in fact, will twist the knife purposely.
Stab you, twist the knife and then pull it out and leave you bleeding on the floor, frankly.
God.
So when they're three, step over them and ignore them. Just let them have a tantrum, step over them, ignore them, they'll soon come round.
I think it's different in different circumstances. Yeah. If you're at home, I think you can step over them.
Oh, yeah, socially.
It's difficult.
The eyebrow.
And also, no, I can't say that either.
What were you going to say?
No, you know, I won't say it. But if you're out, you've got to have a silent signal that is so obvious that you're at your very most upset.
That's why we can't have Botox.
At the end of the day, that's humiliating for them as well as you. So actually, a lot of the time when you're screaming at them in the streets and everyone's watching, they end up getting worse because they're humiliated.
Oh, I just pick
the
them up and walk off.
Yeah, I've done that.
If they're small enough, pick, drag, whatever.
If there's a hood on that coat.
Oh, it's coming. I've dragged kids by the hood. I've dragged kids by a leg.
I think
they soon stop.
It just happens. I feel the more people have open discussions about it, like I'm not. It's not something I would share of it happening with my kids.
No.
But if you can talk about it, you think, oh, good, I'm not the only one. And then it's less daunting when it does happen, and you've got a bit more power over it.
It's quite funny seeing like us as parents versus grandparents, because as parents, I was always like, it's this and it's this and it's this, and with Nova, I'm like, do you want a treat?
Don't you hate that, though?
And I'm like, yeah, what do you want?
Didn't you hate that from your parents?
Well, yeah, but they weren't... Yeah, I mean, but my mother-in-law was always quite... She would just do what we wanted. She'd be like, oh, we can have a little bit, love. You know, yeah, I have a little bit of that.
Oh.
And she was never the top, whereas I'm just like, whatever she wants, just like, gifts.
Oh, see, I find that really difficult.
So now they're like, no more illegal snacks. I'm like, okay, so we had them at the weekend and I was very good. I called it the bottom drawer. I moved all the bottom drawer into the utility out of the way and said to Jim, if you need any of your shit... Because he keeps jelly babies because he's type 1 diabetic. So I'm like, go and get it and don't bring it out. And they had not one illegal snack.
It's so interesting hearing it from a grandparent, though, because I think as a mum, you just think that's the only perspective, don't you? But actually, really, all you want to do is have that relationship where you can be more exciting and give the treats and not be the parent, because you've done the parenting part.
I've done that.
So I get it. Maybe it made me a bit more empathetic with my parents, because I'm always like, why are they still awake? And why have they had this? And did you give them juice? And actually, really, when I listen to how excited you get about giving them those snacks and stuff, so I think, oh.
Well, Nova said to her mum, Mummy, let's play. You be me and I'll be Nanny. And I was thinking, why are they telling me this? What's she done to me? So Lily, my daughter-in-law, goes, oh, hi, Nanny. Can I have a treat? She set me up. Literally set me up. Nova goes... I mean, she's three, threw me straight under the bus. Nova went, come on then, but don't tell Mummy and Daddy what you want.
Like, you little cow.
Like, right, that's it. Where's now. I've never seen her back again. Done. My 15-year-old daughter refuses to get out of bed and get ready for school in the mornings. Every day results in arguments, and I'm losing my mind. What is your best bit of advice to get through the teenage years? Xanax.
Do you think?
Teenage girls. I've never actually had a Xanax. I've just always wanted one.
One of mine didn't want to get out of school at one point, and I would say that it's worth investigating why.
Oh,
because most
obviously,
teenagers
100% why.
Do want to go to
Trust
school.
Trust you to be like intelligent and realistic.
No, but just I would say, like, when I was at school, I couldn't wait to get out of my house and go to school.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah.
I was like, all my friends are there. Yeah. We can, you know, go behind the bike sheds and smoke and get a bottle of White Lightning after school and go over the park. That was life to me.
Yeah.
It was so exciting.
And Ava was the same and I was the same. I love going to school, but the boys not so much.
Yeah, funny.
The boys not so
but
much.
But is that because maybe they're struggling with something or
exactly.
is it because their mates, they've not got friends there? So I would always just look into that as to why, because it should be the best years of their life,
yeah.
the most carefree, fun time of their life. But then also they could just be a lazy teenager who can't be bothered.
I think it's a mixture of both.
If that is the case, I would just... take them in naked, not naked, but like in their pyjamas. If you're not going to get dressed.
You just go anyway, get in the car.
This is the time we leave. I'm taking you as you are.
Yeah.
And I get them in the car.
It's difficult because like all of ours have got ADHD. And so obviously with the older ones, it was undiagnosed because no one spoke about it.
Yeah.
And it was only one of Ava's teachers in like year 11 that was like, look, I think she might have ADHD because she's this, this and this. And I was offended. I was like, how dare they think that? And then we did the quiz and it was like, Jim's like looking at me and I'm like, yeah, it's me.
Oh yeah,
that's me. And so...
it's different in men and women, is it?
Yeah, but it was the best thing that could have happened because I understood her more. The teacher was fantastic. She got extra time with her exams. But it made me understand like her personality in a nutshell and understand the boys because they obviously everyone's a different character. You know,
yeah.
you don't have four kids and they're all the same.
Have you ever seen that TED Talk? It's called School Kills Creativity.
Absolutely, it does.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because there's one type of kid. Mm-hmm. There's only one type of kid that suits school.
Yeah.
The rest of them don't.
Yeah.
And there's nothing for them. And I've got one of those children, really thrives in that kind of academic environment that's
yeah.
structured, that's the same thing day in, day out, week in, week out. Great. It's wonderful for him. Like
yeah.
an absolute wonder. But then some of my others, I actually don't know with the little ones as much.
Yeah.
They're too little.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other, no. He should have gone straight into a job
yeah.
or into some practical kind of apprenticeship and not
yeah.
been forced to take some of these archaic
exams.
And some
of the classes they have to do,
yeah.
you know, it's just, like, painful.
Oh, it's painful, especially when you're trying to fit a square peg into a round
yeah.
hole.
Yeah, and they've got to do and everything's the same. It's all cookie cutter.
And also... I'm like, are you joking me that the maths curriculum is still the same as 20
oh, yeah.
years ago
yeah.
when I went to school? You're still
trigonometry.
Not teaching them APR and mortgages
yeah.
and practical
well,
maths,
that's,
life
that's
maths.
A reason. There's a reason they don't
yeah.
teach business because, God forbid, working
debt.
Class kids
yeah.
grow up and know how to handle their money.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know?
I hate it. I do think it's archaic and it needs a huge reform. And in so many areas as well, they keep banging on about, oh, don't let your kids use social media. So essentially it's the parents' fault if they get on there. No, I tell you what, let's all come together. And actually make a class about social media.
Yeah, let
and
them use social media
that
because that's how they communicate.
Literally.
You either let them or they're going to do it
behind
your back.
And
you know,
make silly
they
mistakes.
Say something like Ava told me once, like every kid's got like four, at the time it's four Snapchat accounts. The one your parents can see,
yeah.
the one your mates see,
yeah.
and the private, and the you know, like the fun ones you have with your mates, and then the ones for like bezies.
But even just things like, let's teach them how to create on there instead
yeah.
of consume all the time.
Yeah.
Let's teach them how to make their algorithm a healthy algorithm instead
yeah.
of the ones where they're just looking at, you know, all of these dark
yeah.
shit in
the
their
internet
newsfeed.
Ain't going away.
It's
so
not.
All this prehistoric nonsense about never give your kid access to an iPad.
It's unbelievable.
How do you think they're going to communicate?
It's unbelievable. And how do you think their jobs are going to go? Because it's
I
all
mean,
going to be on tech.
It's all
going to
be
all
going
to
be on tech.
It's just I just look at the school system and
it's
I'm
so
and it's
antiquated.
Upsetting. And the teachers aren't supported and the
no.
staff ideas.
Yeah. By the way, none of this is about the teachers.
No, they're not supported properly. They come in with ideas. I know that some of the teachers at our schools have, I've spoken to them, they've
yeah.
come into the schools with different ideas and methods and they are
it.
Just pushed away
they
from
can't
it.
Do it.
They can't even reform it even if they wanted to. It's
no.
all down to the government.
And the government don't care.
No,
they do not care
really
about
don't.
The state school
Look, we're,
system.
We're back to politics. We'll end
right,
up,
let's move on.
We're going to get cancelled.
But the 15-year-old daughter, I would say, I didn't have that experience with Ava, but I did with the boys.
Yeah.
And you do have to kind of say, is everything okay? Because
yeah.
lots of times they don't want to tell you as well.
And something's going on if they're not excited.
The main thing about teenagers, like we were saying earlier, that's when they need you the most. People think it's like, oh, when they're older, I'll have freedom. No, you won't.
No.
You've got to be, I say, like, it's more important that my kids, especially through the teenage years, living in central London,
yeah.
they need to be more afraid of letting me down than impressing their mates.
Yeah.
you know. If I have to put the fear of God into them to do that, that's absolutely fine. Ben got married last year and a few of his mates were there and I hadn't seen him in a while and one of them went, "Hi, Mrs. Hirons." I was like, "Mike, I've known you for 20, you can call me Caroline." He was like, "Oh, no, I absolutely can't." And he went, "I'm still absolutely terrified of you." I was like, "Don't be silly." And I gave him a big hug and he was like, "No, I really love you, but I'm more scared of you than my mum." And I went, "Good," walked off.
Still got it.
Last one, you're going to love this one. "I desperately need your advice as my mother-in-law is a huge hoarder. Going to her house is like stepping into a time capsule that has exploded, and don't get me started on the kitchen. The hob is unusable as it's covered by pots, pans and utensils, 19 wooden spoons to be exact. I don't want to upset her, but any tips on how to politely intervene?"
Oh, that's really difficult. Mm-hmm. Even we struggle to politely intervene on sort your life out. I think hoarder is different to somebody who's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So hoarder is, there's a real like clinical, psychological problem and they need therapy and help and support. If you're somebody or you've got a family member who just can't let go of things and just has a lot of clutter, I think probably the reason most people in that situation don't want to let go is because they don't know what's there. So your best bet is to start one place at a time, put it all out so they can see every single item from that space, and then say, "What do you want, and what don't
we
need?
Gonna keep, and what can we give to someone who needs it more than you
exactly.
do?" Charity.
It's all about. So whenever I'm doing Sort Your Life Out, for me, when the families walk into the warehouse, they're like, "Ah, is this all ours? Mm-hmm. I didn't know I had this." And then they'll find little gems in there where they're like, "Oh, I thought I'd lost this," and that's really all they care about.
Yeah,
the mountains
all
of stuff,
the stuff.
On top of that, they can let go of, but they've found this one thing that they thought might be there that they didn't know was there, and that's what stops them from letting go of anything else. So you have just got to take that same mentality and apply it to small spaces. Find your first cupboard, empty it out, put it in little sections and go through it, and hopefully one step at a time you can get help her to get clever.
And also, like, if it's your mother-in-law, you're gonna have to involve your partner because it's their mum.
And also, there are ways of sneakily, like, if you've seen something under a pile that
just
that is not fit for purpose anymore, you can go in, and every time you go in, take a couple bits.
Just visit them a lot.
Or say, "I've been looking for one of these. Do you mind if I nab that?" Most people who collect stuff are just waiting for somebody to say, "I really need one of those.
In case it's helpful."
Exactly, for a rainy day. They're rainy day type people. So say, tell them you need it, take it, and drop it off to charity.
I mean, that might not work if it's 25 piles of magazines and newspapers.
But 18 wooden spoons? You'll be like, "Oh, I've lost my wooden spoon. Can I borrow a couple?"
You won't believe this. I've lost that wooden spoon again. Yeah, you won't believe this. I need that wooden spoon to get my teenager out of bed for school.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, thanks, Stace. I feel like we could do listeners' questions like forever.
We should just do a whole episode.
A whole
of
episode
questions.
Of just listeners' questions. Hoarders and mums.
Hoarders and mums. Hoarders, mums and more. We'll call it.
Hoarders, mums and more. Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
Oh, I love you, Caroline.
Thanks for listening. I'm back on Monday with a new guest, so make sure you tune in. Until then, I'm glad we had this chat. New episodes are available every Monday and Wednesday. Follow or subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Glad We Had This Chat is produced by Wall to Wall Media.